Hello, friends. Tom L. Bondvie here again with another message from the Word of God. Let's open in a word of prayer before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank Thee, Lord, for this opportunity You have given me, Lord, to deliver this message. It is my prayer, Lord, that the ears that hear it will be open, Lord, that the hearts will be receptive to what I have to tell them, Lord, and that the leading of the Holy Spirit will have the priority in my heart, Lord. O Lord God, I pray You will be edified by what is said here today. And I pray, Lord, that minds will be clearer because of what is said, Lord. May Your word find lodging in needy hearts. And may our blessed Savior be lifted up. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Okay, you know, there's been a lot of talk over the years, and it can be quite volatile, really, if you're talking to young Christians, those who are still into the milk of the Word. When you involve things like, on what day was Jesus crucified? Or what day did He rise again from the dead? Things like that, they can cause a lot of doubt in young Christians' minds. And even in some of the older Christians, they just sort of pass it off, some of them, and say, well, you know, all I know is I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I believe in Jesus, and so forth and so on. But, you know, that's not all there is to being a Christian, just knowing that you're going to heaven, that you're saved. We're supposed to study the Word, get into the Word of God, and to understand so that when we relate the Word to others who are not Christians, we'll have some knowledge of what we're talking about. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the actual leader in what we should say. He helps us to say and not to say certain things, gives us wisdom along the way. But through these messages that you hear that are from the King James Bible, you will gain more insight into what is and what is not, and what we should know, and what perhaps you may not deem as important, but when it comes down to it, everything that's in the Word of God is important. For these are the truths of God. This book, this holy and precious book, has been written by our God. And I have no qualms about that whatsoever. So anyway, I've entitled the message today, Because God Said So. Now, someone said to me, you know, why do you believe that? Doesn't make any sense. Well, even if I don't understand it, I'll say simply, because God said so. Now, you can't say you believe in God and say, well, I don't think he meant that. I think you were just fooling around. No, God doesn't fool around. Every word that's in this holy book, this King James Bible I have here in front of me, every word is out of the mouth of God. And people were moved, chosen people were moved to write these down as God had dictated to them. So what you read is not what someone else thinks, it's what God thinks. It's because God said so. You know, almost every Christian I've ever spoken to over the years, whether they're a young Christian or a seasoned vet or a part-time skin-of-your-teeth migrant, they all say they don't understand biblical questions, or they don't think they're important enough to pursue. You know, I call them Christian backbenchers. Some I even choose to call cowards, and even go so far as to say liars. Now, I'm not saying that I know everything in the Bible, far from it, but you can bet your beanie I'll fish and pry and search and grope and even get a little bit arrogant until I find the truth. And while we're on the subject, and I do have a full head of steam, something else that irks me to the chin strap is when I hear so-called Christians who suddenly get the job or that job that they've been praying for, or that healing their brothers and sisters have spent day after day praying about, when I hear them say things like, well, you know, I was lucky enough to be next in line, or, I feel like a new man ever since I read that book, Physician Heal Thyself. Good grief! If God had a mind to throw up, this would be the time. Hey, do you know God? Yeah, I know God. Well, how well do you know our Savior? I know him pretty well. I mean, Savior, who is this guy? I know God. I mean, everybody knows God, whether they believe him or not. So you know God, but you're not saved, right? Is that correct? You're not a Christian, right? Well, not like Muhammad or Buddha. So I gotta be a Christian, I guess. Yeah, man, I'm a Christian. I must be. I'm a Catholic. Well, let me tell you something, sir. I was a Catholic for 43 years before I became a Christian. How'd you do that? Do you have a Bible? Yes, sir. What name? What's the name of it? Bible. It's Bible. Well, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, do you know for sure you would go to heaven? Yes, sir. And what do you base that on? Well, I mean, why not? I ask you, sir, what do you base that on that you'd go to heaven if you died today? I mean, how do you know for sure? Well, the priest told me. Your priest told you? You were going to heaven? Yeah, Father, what's his name? I see. And who told him? Well, the bishop, I guess. And who told the bishop you were going to heaven? Nightingale. Cardinal. Cardinal. Yeah. Yeah, I always get them birds mixed up. Dare I ask, and who told the cardinal? The Pope, man, the Pope. I thought everybody knew that. We do. I just wanted to hear it from your own lips. So, let me get this right. You believe you're going to heaven because the priest, the bishop, the cardinal, and the Pope said so. That's all. Yep. So you're sure if you died this very moment, you'd go straight to heaven? Yep. Well, what about hell? Hell? What are you talking about? There ain't no hell. And what do you base that on, sir? Well, on the authority of Robert Schuller, Billy Graham, Pope John, and some writer named Lewis. I think his first name was Jerry. Do you believe the Holy Bible is true? I mean, all the words written in it? Well, who wrote it? God. Well, if God wrote it, then I believe it. And this, sir, is precisely my point. If God wrote it, well, let's say that everything, every single word taught, tittle, every parenthesis, every phrase, every name, every single letter in the King James is not only perfectly correct, it's also God-breathed, inspired, infallible, inerrant, and has been preserved from the day it was first uttered by the very lips of our holy God. If you deny even one syllable of His holy word, which God magnifies even above His own name, then you are lost and on your way to a fiery hell. Now, right now, some of you are mumbling to yourself, yeah, sure. Who do you think he is? Just another sinner saved by grace, that's who I am. Just another sinner saved by grace. But when God said in His word that He would preserve it, that was my first clue that I'd better not mess with it in any way. Jesus said, if we deny Him that was sent, then we deny Him who sent Him. And to deny Him who sent Him is to deny Him who was sent. And to deny Him who was sent is to deny the Word. Is there any of us today so gullible to man's devices that we would allow ourselves to believe the lies of men? You know, one day I was talking to a brother about the fact that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, a great fish prepared by God. In Matthew, the account of Jonah says whale. In Jonah, it says a great fish. Now, the problem here with doubters is that a whale is not a fish, but a mammal. Well, call it what you want. A whale is a mammal fish. It swims like a fish, has fins like a fish, has a tail like a fish, eats other fish like a fish, looks like a fish. Call it what you want. It has all the attributes of a fish. What's important here is the fact that God prepared this great fish. How did He prepare it? He prepared it to be at the very place at the very time it would be needed. And God also prepared the anatomy and gastro system in such a way as to accommodate the checking in of one by the name of Jonah. So, does it matter that it's called a great fish in Jonah and a whale in Matthew? No. Not really. It's still a great fish, and it's still a whale, and it's still a mammal. Doubt it, and you doubt the Word of God. Let me ask you something. When a non-believer comes to you and asks a question about something in the Bible, do you go to the Bible and find the answer? Or do you say something like, well, we don't know all the answers, but we trust in God, He knows. Man, what a stupid answer. Oh, you're going to win lots of souls that way. What a stupid answer. You can't give stupid answers and expect to win souls for Christ. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There you go. Study your Bible. The question I've heard more often than any other is the focus for my message. It's why I named it, Because God Said So. Because God said so. Not me, God. A guy came to me and had this to say. You know, I'm a Catholic. Well, you have my sympathies already. And we believe that Jesus was crucified on Good Friday and rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. I wanted to ask him, what is Good Friday? But the Holy Spirit nudged me and said, don't. Even many of the so-called theologians of our day will respond in a much different way. First, we ask the question, on what day do you believe Jesus was crucified? Answer, what difference does it make? So, I insist upon an answer. They say in ignorance, 3 days before He rose again. Again, the Holy Spirit nudged me. Don't bother. Then he said, the Holy Spirit, instead of asking, why don't you tell them on what day Jesus the Christ was crucified? Up until the 1700s, the Jewish New Year began in April. Listen carefully. And the Passover was always held on the 14th day of April. April 14th. Now, just a brief explanation of what the Passover is. We're going to go to Exodus 12 and begin reading at verse 22. Okay? You can go there and follow along with me if you like, or you can just take note, write it down, and read it afterwards. Okay, Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse 22. And the word of God says, you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, the promised land, and that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. There you have it. Read it, study it. It's the Passover. Now, how does the Passover fit in with the crucifixion and the ascension or the rising of Jesus Christ from the dead? Stay tuned. How long did the Passover take, first of all? One night. One night. Question. What follows directly after the Passover? The days of unleavened bread. For 7 days following the Passover. 7 days. So, on the 14th day of the first month, which was April to the Jews, was the Passover, followed by 7 days of unleavened bread. So, that would be the 15th, because the 15th follows the 14th, right? The 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 days. Now, a note of interest. The Jewish New Year began on April 1st, up until the 1700s, and then it switched to January 1st. Some refused to switch, and thus were called, if you will, April Fools. Nonetheless, Passover is always on the 14th day of April. Okay? Now, you can refer to, write these down, Leviticus 23, 5 and 6, Numbers 9, 1 to 5, Numbers 28, 16 and 17, Numbers 33, verse 3, Joshua 5, verse 10, Deuteronomy 16, verse 6. Now, 2 Chronicles 30, verse 15, says the 14th day of second month They actually kept the Passover on the second month, on the 14th day. Well, I've been saying it's been the first month. Now note, this is not a mistake in Scripture. Why? Well, due to circumstances, they missed the first month. And by God's grace, were permitted to hold the Passover on the second month. Now, in case you didn't know, the Jews crossed the Jordan River on the Passover day to the Promised Land. In Ezra 6:19-22, we read about the Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Acts 12:3, Easter, Passover, Peter imprisoned during the days of unleavened bread. Now, when was Jesus crucified? Now, all you Catholics out there, if you're listening, perk up your ears and listen. Jesus was crucified on the day of the Passover and spent 3 days and three nights, these are literal days and nights, in the tomb. Now, try to follow me. Jesus was crucified on the day of the Passover, and Jewish protocol said that he had to be taken down from the cross before evening. Okay, the Jewish day is from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. Jesus was in the tomb from 6 p.m. on the 14th to 6 p.m. on the 15th. That's one day and one night. 6 p.m. on the 15th to 6 p.m. on the 16th. That's another day and another night. From 6 p.m. on the 16th to 6 p.m. on the 17th. Another day and a night. For a total of 3 days and three nights. Okay? Now, Jesus rose the evening of the 17th. The first day of the week, Sunday. So, when Mary Magdalene arrived at the tomb early on Monday morning, the 18th, Jesus had already risen and the tomb, praise God, was empty. So, if you count backwards, Jesus rose on Sunday, the first day of the week, right? Now, we're going backwards. This, of course, is the Gentile day of the Lord, not to be confused with the Jewish Sabbath Saturday, the time in which God rested. From Sunday night at 6 back to Saturday at 6 p.m. is one night and one day. From Saturday evening at 6 p.m. back to Friday evening at 6 p.m. is two nights and 2 days. From Friday at 6 p.m. to back to Thursday at 6 p.m. is a total of 3 nights and 3 days. All right? The Passover is always on the 14th day. The Passover is always followed by the 7 days of unleavened bread, which is also referred to as the days of unleavened bread or the feast of unleavened bread. So, on what day of the week was Jesus crucified? Now, some have said Friday. Most have said Friday, and they call it Good Friday. Some have said Wednesday. A lot have said Thursday. Well, study it for yourself. Thursday, Jesus, our Christ, was crucified on Thursday At what time of day was Jesus nailed to the cross? About noon? How long was Jesus on the cross? About 3 hours? At least 3 hours. 3 hours of darkness upon the earth. Isn't that what the Word of God says? How many thieves were crucified with him? Two. What were their names? No, never mind. Whose borrowed tomb was Jesus taken to? Joseph of Arimathea. How long was Jesus in the heart of the earth? 3 days and three nights. Literal days, literal nights. What day did Jesus rise? Sunday in the evening. Why is Sunday known as the Lord's Day? Because it's the day our Lord rose from the dead. What day did Mary Magdalene, come to the tomb? Early Monday morning. There you have it. There's really nothing more to add. Jesus the Christ, our blessed Savior, praise God, who stepped into the breach for a sinner like me. All praise be to God. Thank you. That I might be set free from all my iniquities, and that everyone in this world, this sin-cursed world, may also know for sure, upon accepting Jesus as their personal Savior, that they are saved and going to heaven when they depart from this world. Heavenly Father, I praise Thee. I thank Thee, Lord, for allowing me, Lord, to deliver this message. I pray, Lord, that the ears that heard it will understand, that the hearts will receive it, Lord, with joy, and that Thy grace, Lord, would flow into their lives. And if they are not saved, Lord, that they would make that decision, that all-important life decision, Lord, for Jesus Christ today, to believe that He suffered and died and shed His precious blood on that cruel cross at Calvary, and that He spent 3 literal days and 3 literal nights in the heart of the earth, and then He rose again. Oh, Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for saving us. Thank You for providing the precious Lamb. In the name of Thy only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Jesus, for dying for a sinner like me. Thank You. Amen and amen.